Welcome to the What Matters Most podcast, presented by First United Bank and Trust. That's my bank. Visit us today at mybank.com.
Hello and welcome to What Matters Most, a podcast all about finances, community, savings, and security for you, your family, and your business. This podcast is brought to you by the helpful folks at my bank, First United Bank and Trust. I'm your host, Eric Nutter, and in today's episode, What Matters Most is our monthly economic update. And for this discussion, I'm thankful to be joined once again remotely today by Sean McCreary, Vice President and Wealth Investment Officer in First United's Wealth Management Department. Sean, how are you doing this morning?
Doing good, Eric. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming back as always. And it's that time of month. We're at the end of the year. Thank goodness. Christmas is right around the corner, and it's time to kind of give our check-in. So tell us a little bit about what's going on in the markets. What have we seen through the course of this year, and what do we have to look forward to? Do you want to start with the negatives first?
Yep. Yeah, I think right now we still think negatives kind of outweigh the positives economically right now. Luckily, these last couple months have been a nice little bounce in stock markets, and bond values have been appreciating too, as long-term rates have come down somewhat. So I don't know if it's technically the Santa Claus rally is from Christmas through the end of the year. We've kind of had a Christmas has come early a little bit. Obviously still very negative returns on both sides for investors, but at least some reprieve over the last couple months. So something to be cheerful about. That's at least in this rough year of markets. But overall, again, the negatives outweigh. The big thing that we're looking at is monetary policy, and the mistakes that might have already been made or are still to be made by the central banks around the globe for the. Federal Open Market Committee, the Federal Reserve here in the U.S., it actually just in November raised rates by its a fourth time by 75 basis points, and that brought the federal funds rate, the kind of the rate, their depository rate that they control, to a 3.75% to 4% range is how they usually have a range of about 25 basis points or 0.25%, but that's where they're at now. And Fed Chair Jerome Powell really doubled down, continues to be very hawkish stance, and remains committed to bringing inflation down, even if it's at the cost of putting the U.S. economy into recession. We did have a consumer price inflation report actually just yesterday, and actually came in kind of better than expectations, lower than expected. Still at a pretty high year-over-year rate of right around 7%, but on a month-over-month basis, and if you look at core, some of the smallest gains on a month-over-month basis that we've had, and it kind of correlates to back to 2 to 3% if it maintains at this rate an annual basis. So a better than expected report, but they're actually meeting today, December 14th, and we'll have a meeting today, and we'll make some comments after it. The expectation that the market has is that there will be another 50 basis point hike today at their December meeting, and that's pretty much baked into markets pricing at this point, but we'll... His press conference after Jerome Powell's press conference after the meeting is always interesting, and there can be a lot of market volatility that surrounds it. So we'll see how that goes this afternoon. And I think as we move into next year, our expectation is obviously with this rate hike, we're going to that 4.25 to 4.5% range. And our expectation is there's a few more increases in early in 2023, most likely at the 25 basis point hike or 0.25% hike. And we eventually get to right around 5% on their depository rate. And that's kind of what markets have priced in. So continuing to tighten policy, try to slow down demand, reduce demand, so that inflation will let off and come back down to levels we've seen over the past 10 years. So we'll see how that goes and if they over tighten or if they do too much or if they have to continue to go go higher throughout the year of 2023. That's kind of the million-dollar question right now.
Right.
Next, we look at the Institute of Supply Management numbers. We do kind of, and what typically is kind of the canary in the coal mine is the manufacturing index. So right now, it actually just fell to this most recent month of November, fell to a 30-month low of 49%. Again, diffusion index, so if it's below 50, we're in contraction territory. If it's above 50, we're in expansion territory. So this is, we're in contraction territory for the first time since the onset of pandemic in May 2020. New orders, employment, backlog of orders are all deep in contraction territory. Definitely manufacturers are bearing the most of the weight, the softening economy, exports declining from a strong dollar, and consumers shifting spending from goods to services. Now, some of this was expected as we kind of normalize this year is typically consumers are spending more on services than goods, but for the last few years, because as we were all kind of locked inside and spending on our home, we were buying much more goods than typical. And then that is normalized this year, but at this point, manufacturing is contraction and into contraction territory. And with rates rising, mortgage rates at the highest level in many years, this is somewhat expected. And what the Fed is doing to reduce demand to bring inflation down. So this is into contraction territory. We'll see how far down it goes. But we're just getting into that as of right now. Next, we have another thing we've kind of been tracking to watch for any bad signs in the economy is consumer credit. In October, it jumped to $27.1 billion, 6.9% annualized rate, up from 6.6% in September. And credit card balances as of September increased by 15% year over year, the largest increase in more than 20 years. So with the surge of inflation, some households are definitely coming under pressure, spending more on credit cards than they have in some time. So that's but going forward for inflation, that should, again, reduce demand that the consumer is able to buy goods with. So we'll see how that continues, if that's kind of the high point or if we continue higher from there. Next, pending home sales. Again, really the real estate market continues to be one of the big thing that's been hit with mortgage rates being as high as they are. Home sales fell for the fifth straight month in October by 4.6%, bringing the year-over-year decline to 37%. Existing home sales fell 5.9% in October, while new home sales unexpectedly rose 7.5% from September, offering kind of a mixed bag for that month. Sales continue to stall with elevated, obviously, those higher home prices that we've seen over the past year, but also those high mortgage rates. A drop, though, we have seen over the last couple months, 30-year rates have come down a little bit, giving us a small bright spot in the area, this industry that's been hit pretty hard over the last few months, that's for sure.
Gotcha. All right, so that rounds out the negatives on the report. What good news have you saved up for us? We have so good going into the holidays.
Right. The good news to look at is the overall the job market maintains to be kind of the strength of the economy currently. We have very low unemployment. In November, we added 263,000 jobs above expectations. Wages also got a bump, climbing to 5.1% from 4.9% the prior month. Unemployment rate still at near all-time lows at 3.7%. Initial weekly jobless claims jumped some, a little bit, but to 234,000 to 230,000 in the week ended December 3rd. The number of people actually already collecting unemployment benefits rose as well, and it's by 62,000 to 1.67 million, and that's the highest reading since February. But comparatively to all-time levels, we're still at very, very low levels, very tight labor market. And something that again, we've talked about before, that the central bank wants to see some loosening of the employment market, wants to see they want to see wage growth, but not as high as over 5%. They want it back down to the 2-3% level. They don't right now. There's still almost two jobs for every unemployed worker. They want that more on a 1-to-1 basis rather than a 2-to-1 basis. So continued. I mean, again, that's a good thing, but in order to have the Fed kind of back off their ultra tight policy, we have to see some loosening there. The next thing we look at, again, we talked about the manufacturing index of the Institute of Supply Management, purchasing manager indices. Now, looking at the service side, that actually rose to 56.5% in November. Again, if we, and we've talked about this before, if we're above 55% in that, and those numbers, we're actually getting exceptional growth. And so that's a very good number for the service indices. Business activity, new orders, backlog of orders all remain in expansion territory, and employment actually popped back into expansion territory for the service side as well. Definitely held up better than manufacturing due to that shift in consumer spending. Every month, they go out to these purchasing managers and ask them how things are going. Respondents have indicated that business is stable overall. Supply chain issues continue to subside. However, companies still being more cautious about hiring and investment as spending and demand has softened from earlier in the year. So, again, very good number here. The larger side of the economy, about 70% of the U.S. economy is service-oriented. So good things from that report. And then finally, the S&P 500 earnings, we're finalizing third quarter earnings season. Basically, all of the companies have reported year-over-year earnings. Came in right around the 4.5% level of growth, and we had right around 71% of companies reported earnings above analyst expectation, which is above the long term average of 66.2. And revenue for the third quarter is growing right around that 12%. So good things there. The question is where do those, how do those earnings fare as we go into fourth quarter earnings season and into 2023, as some of our research partners and others that we hear from are expecting earnings to fall actually as we go into next year. So
we may say that we'll the negatives next month.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out as we start to get the fourth quarter numbers.
Gotcha. All right, Sean, to talk us through any conclusions and current strategies that you all are implementing right now.
Yeah, glad to be nearly done with 2022 as for financial markets, that's for sure. Ready to turn the page to 2023. Definitely been a rough year overall as both returns in equities and fixed income have been fairly negative, right around that 10% down level. But I think our underlying view remains inflation should moderate over the course of 2023, easing strains on monetary policy, bond yields, and equity valuations. However, the timeline for improvement kind of remains uncertain, especially in the short term. And and volatile economic data is likely to correspond with volatile markets as we move into 2023. Given our expectation that the bear market is likely in the later stages, but also that volatility may persist over the coming months with more potential for downside, we believe it definitely important to maintain balance in portfolios, underweight versus your normal risk targets in the good times, and keeping an eye on longer term opportunities that may present themselves. And then again, as the Fed meets today, we'll hear from them this afternoon, again, at 50 basis point or 0.50% hike to their depository rate to take it above 4% for the first time in quite a long time. It'll be interesting to see how the Fed manages their policy in 2023. We expect them to stay in tightening mode for a little bit longer, possibly pause and let this monetary policy take effect. As if you haven't heard before, it typically monetary policy acts with a lag, a long and variable lag is how they describe it typically. And we'll see what Powell's tone is at this press conference after their meetings. Does he remain resolutely hawkish? Is he happy with the recent inflation reports, which have been better than expected these last few months? But they have continued to say they remain very data dependent. So forecasting has been very difficult this year. And if inflation does come under control and the labor market loosens some, well, then maybe they'll be able to pause for a longer time and be ready to help the economy if they see anything breaking in the economy. At this point, we do expect a recession, an economic recession in 2023. At this point, our base case is that it's not going to be what we call some of our analysts call a rip your face off recession like we saw in March of 2020 or back in 08, 09. It's going to be a fairly mild slowdown, and we'll get through it. And most companies that are profitable will be able to get through it. Might get rid of some of the unprofitable companies and clear way for those profitable companies. And hopefully, we can have the loosening of the labor market, but it doesn't get out of control and have a lot of people lose their jobs. Hopefully we can stay fairly fully employed overall. So we'll see how things play out. Definitely a lot more question marks and we've weighted them more negatives than positives currently. But again, we think at least by the second half of 2023, we'll start to see a light at the end of the tunnel, hopefully, and some more positive returns by the end of next year than we saw this year.
Excellent. Sean, thank you so much for joining me today and providing these helpful insights into what's been happening this year and what's going on in the market currently. If any of our listeners have a question or want to learn more, what's the best way they can get the support they need?
I think the easiest way is go to our website, mybank.com, click on the wealth investment area, that link on our website, and you should be able to find a number or someone to get in contact with in your local area.
Excellent. Sean McCreary, Vice President and Wealth Investment Officer in First United's Wealth Management Department. Thanks again, Sean. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
That brings us to the end of our show. You can always find more episodes by visiting mybank.com/podcast or find us on your favorite podcast app. You can also leave feedback, ask questions, or request a topic for us to discuss by sending an email to podcast@mybank.com. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next time with more helpful content. But until then, we wish you the best in focusing on what matters most to you.
First United, my bank for life.
This document is a general communication being provided for informational purposes only. It is educational in nature and not designed to be taken as advice or a recommendation for any specific investment product, strategy, plan, feature, or other purpose in any jurisdiction, nor is it a commitment from First United Bank and Trust or any of its subsidiaries to participate in any of the transactions mentioned herein. Any examples are generic, hypothetical, and for illustration purposes only. This material does not contain sufficient information to support an investment decision and should not be relied upon in evaluating the merits of investing in any securities or products. In addition, users should make independent assessment of the legal, regulatory, credit, and accounting implications and determine together with their own professional advisors if any investment mentioned herein is believed to be suitable to their personal goals. Investors should ensure that they obtain all available relevant information before making any investment. Any forecasts, figures, opinions, or investment techniques and strategies set out are for information purposes only, based on certain assumptions and current market conditions, and are subject to change without prior notice. All information presented herein is considered to be accurate at the time of production, but no warranty of accuracy is given, and no liability in respect of any error or omission is accepted. It should be noted that investment involves risks. The value of investments and the income from them may fluctuate in accordance with market conditions and taxation agreements, and investors may not get back the full amount invested. Both past performance and yields are not reliable indicators of current and future results.